Welcome to Two Losers, broadcasting live from the lair of Loosh, known as Bulldog Radio.
I never realized how completely homophobic that song is.
I was just going to say, I swear to God, that's exactly how I was going to start. All I could think of is, I wonder now if every time it's on, because you know he's like some lefty dude.
Yeah.
He just is just cringing every time he goes, "You fucking homos," and he goes, "Get away, you gay."
like how the Beastie Boys feel about License to Ill, because they're all fucking Buddhist now and shit. And they refuse to play any of the songs off of that record.
What was on it? Well, they play. They won't play. They won't play. Fight for Your Right to Party.
The whole fucking record is like a misogynist, you know, drug addict album. Anyway, I'm sending that song out to my wife. She wanted me to play some Descendants tonight.
She wanted to show the hatred of gays.
Exactly.
Oh,
she hates the gays. Nah, I think she just had nostalgia for the song and, like us, didn't realize how incredibly homophobic that song is.
Yeah,
it happens.
Although I think they mean gay as in not good,
lame,
which is.
Lame.
Which is very...
Go away, you fucking lame, is what they wanted to say. But welcome to Bulldog Radio for tonight. It's January 29th, 2010. We're down to a two-man show this week.
Two-man dance.
Yeah, well, you know, JC is...
We've got a two-man advantage.
JC's been gone forever, so everybody...
I called him up, he said no.
We had a special guest appearance a couple weeks ago by him. It lit up the world, but now he's gone. And Joey is suffering from swine flu.
No, his emphysema is acting up.
Okay, I thought he quit smoking, though. Mm-hmm. It happens.
I don't know. You know, did he?
I think Joe realized tonight was going to be a show where we talked a lot about politics, and he didn't want another firm drubbing like he took last week, so he just gave up on it.
Like, home. I don't feel good, Junior. I'm going to be sleeping. I can't even come.
He put on the sick call, the work sick call voice.
Oh, he did completely. He started coughing halfway through. He goes, excuse me, yeah. I was in mid-cough.
Where they overdo it, they don't realize you need either congestion, a cough, or the raspy voice, but they do all three.
I'm not feeling well.
I'm not coming in today.
There you go.
What's wrong? I'm taking a day.
What are we going to do to Joe? Dock him a day's pay?
Done. He's done. That seat's going to be filled by...
Exactly.
Joe, next week.
Exactly. Joe, when he comes back next week.
So what's been going down this week, Bobby?
This has been a fun week, because I know all of our listeners like hearing about me suffering.
I want to hear about your... Well, last time we heard this story, something happened where like 80 million things fell on you. And
yeah,
hot
it was,
coffee, skull, you know, yeah. Gave you third-degree burns on your balls.
Exactly. It was my Amazon Women on the Moon moment where... you know, somehow I ended up sticking a fork into a socket, and I fell out a window. This week was awesome.
Did you get
awesome.
A show on WWOR here in New York?
What happened?
That was our senior
hall. Wow, that was such an old reference. Wow. You lost me, and I'm older than you.
And I think I lost our audience, too. Everyone's like, what? Who?
Arsenio Hall.
The friend of...
Sidekick to Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Not Charlie Murphy. Pre-Charlie Murphy, Charlie Murphy is what they used to call Arsenio Hall. What I call him now. They never used to call him that at all. But
Charlie Murphy was just still a kid.
Exactly. I think Charlie's older than Eddie, isn't he?
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. Murphy's like 51 and Eddie's like 47. Well, we're going to have
really?
To go to the...
He's older,
we're going to have to go to the internets.
All right, you keep talking while I do this.
So this
How
week,
do we do that with one person?
What?
Vamp. Like, I'm like, all right, Bobby, you handle this. Usually it's like two people talking and then Joe will go do it.
Yeah, exactly. What we need is like some kind of puppet or maybe like a talking Elmo doll. Or maybe what we need is sound clips of our co-host they're not here.
It's funny you were going to do that. Yeah. I didn't have time this week, but I was going to take all bits of you yelling at Joe.
Yeah.
And I was going to go, Rob, what do you think about it? And I was just going to start playing them.
I was just going to pull a clip of Joe saying, Jesus fucking Christ, will you let me finish? and played every time I got going, so we'd feel like he was still here. But he's not, and we miss him. But this week was an awesome week. You found him yet, Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy, you are correct, is older.
Yeah, he's like 51, right?
He was born in 59, and Eddie was born in 61.
There you go.
Damn.
Why does that seem so much farther apart when it's not really? It's only 2 years.
Whatever.
So Eddie Murphy's like 51 now?
Yeah.
Damn,
not
man.
51.
That dude is like the uncrackable brother, man. He looks like he's 38.
Well, you know what they say.
Black don't crack, man.
Oh, I was going to say what? Black people age well.
So this week, started the week on a Monday, as usual. That's how most of my weeks start.
Most of my weeks start on Sunday, but who am I to be a stickler for the rules?
So Monday, it's a fucked up day at work. A bunch of people don't show up, you know, as usual.
It's a Monday. You got to set this up. It's a Monday. It's the beginning of the year. Yeah. So everyone's time basically rebooted from last year, right?
Well, not where I work. It runs on a different schedule, but people still have all their sick
days. Scratch what I just said.
Anyway, a bunch of people usually don't show up on Monday. Same group of people, usually. Same, you know.
Older people with lots of
seniority. Yep.
And sick time added up.
Yeah. So I got to cover this area. I get into the area very late, later than you normally would, so I'm already running. Right. You know, I'm running. I'm driving a truck around. I'm running. A torrential downpour happens.
Sure.
You remember this. So I'm wearing my hipster, I don't know if you can see him from there, my one-star Converse shoes.
Whoa.
Right?
My got
white
sneakers.
My white sole Converse. My wife bought me these. I love these shoes.
That's nice.
My suede Converse. So look good. I look good in them. Not good for traction. So I'm...
No way.
Walking out of the side of the truck, and I step on a piece of metal.
No way.
The feet go out from under me.
Feet still fail.
And
now.
I literally, let's say this is the ground. No one can see this, but this is for your benefit. Uh-huh. This is the ground. This is the truck I'm standing. I do one of these.
You fell off the truck?
Fell out horizontal onto the ground in front of this office building.
Holy
land on
shit.
My back and my hip. Immediately, first thing I do, I check to make sure the BlackBerry's all right.
Right.
In the pocket. And I'm getting poured on because it's raining like a motherfucker. And I'm just kind of just laying there, you know, on the curb.
Sure.
Just looking up as rain's hitting me in the eyeball and shit. And I laughed about it.
Did you take your, like,
funny.
3 seconds to respond? About in December when I was up in Maine, I decided to go to Lowell, Massachusetts. I don't know if I told you this. I went to go, where Kerouac's from. They have a little shrine to him and shit. So I was like, all right, we're going to go to this. Met some people. They said, oh, go to this bar. There's a lot of poets, artists that hang out there. So we're like, all right, well, maybe we'll grab a quick pint. The second we pull into this town, me and my wife do not stop fighting. The whole week, we're loving. I mean, total love. I'm telling you, we pull into the town, boom, something changes in the air. We're fighting, fuck it. We go, fuck it. We see the thing, we're fighting, we go. We're going to get a pint.
Isn't that the best fighting with
fighting,
your wife?
Right? But I don't even know why we're fighting. We're just bickering. But it's so angry, right? I park in the parking lot, open the door. And my wife, I wish she could be here to tell you the story. I literally step on, I look down, I go, oh, there's ice, so I got to be careful. I step on it. Next thing I know, I completely do a flip, and I go, well, it's either going to be my face or my back. So in midair, in like at a 0.003 seconds, I turn myself, so I literally land on my left shoulder.
I never realized you were such an acrobat.
Dude, I don't know how I did it, but I was like, wah! Right? And I'm just laying there. My wife's like, are you okay? And I literally had to take 3 to 5 seconds to go. I really thought I broke my arm. I go, wait, move my hand. I go, no, I'm all right. To this day, my shoulder's killing me.
It's funny, though, because this happens to me once a year, no matter what, that my feet go out from under me, and I'm horizontal, and I just slap on the ground. And this year, I really thought I was getting away with it because the snow's over.
Did it hurt?
Ice is basically. It hurt like a motherfucker, but I was basically okay, and then the next day I woke up, and I felt fine.
Oh, really?
I'm starting to think I'm like fucking unbreakable and shit, you know? Because
you're going Bruce Willis, not Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. I ain't no Mr. Glass.
I think I'm turning to Mr. Brittle.
This shit happens so much where I just smash my head into a big metal door or like just wacky
count.
Shit.
It don't happen- count. I mean, the door didn't have a chance when it was up against
you. Yeah, I got a fucking thick head, man. But, yeah, the only thing that happened to me was I tried to grab the handle on the side of the truck to hold myself up, and I'm missing it completely, and I got like a little cut on my thumb, but it's even gone now.
And that probably hurt more than the back, right?
No. You know, it hurt for a while, but then I was kind of fine, and I thought it was just funnier than anything else. And of course, the first thing that happens is it's an office building, so of course there's people around. this lady starts walking up to me, and I literally just wave away, like, get the fuck away from me. Like, I don't want your goddamn help. I'm fine.
I don't
get
want
the
your
fuck.
Sympathy.
Yeah, you coming up to me.
It made it worse.
And trying to make me feel better is only going to make this situation worse.
Completely worse.
And then.
Not because now you're kind of embarrassed.
Yeah, and then 15 minutes later, the truck breaks down.
Get the fuck
out of here. It's happened to me twice. This has been the shittiest week in history. Truck broke down twice, got snowed on, rained on, fell out of a goddamn truck. It was like a good four.
All the same day?
It was like a 4 or 5 foot fall. No, this is over the whole week.
Okay.
I probably fell.
Well,
the
last time everything happened in one day.
No, this was spread out. A total of perhaps 5 minutes, but spread out over a week. But I literally sailed 4 feet through the air and 4 feet down. It was spectacular. I wish I had a videotape of it.
Thud.
That's what happened. You know, and there was something I wanted to touch on last week, right? And you know what? Why don't you tell me about your week first? Let's see.
Nothing, bro. It was just a shitty week of work. Nothing spectacular. Nothing spectacular. Just literally getting home late, half asleep, getting up in the morning, sitting on the couch, waking up an hour later going, oh, fuck, twice this week.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Going out today, realizing it's winter again. We had a nice, stretch where it was like a balmy 40 degrees.
Probably. It is cold as an ex-wife out there, man. It's fucking, we're in the Northeast, obviously. So over the last couple days, the temperature has dropped into the fucking 20s and 30s again.
It was one day. It went from like 45, 50 to the next day I came out and was like, fuck.
I thought my heat broke in my house. I thought my heat stopped working. I didn't realize it was because... You know, like, we take shit for granted in our technological savvy and in the year 2010. Your heat has to work so fucking hard to fight against this onslaught of cold weather to keep your little box warm,
Bobby. Your heater got tired?
I put my hand on the heater, and I'm like, it's not hot enough. What the fuck is, like, an entitled asshole?
Right.
What the fuck is going on here? It's not hot enough. Maybe because it's 25 degrees out, and you're trying to keep your house at 70.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I'm walking around going... It's fucking freezing here. How the fuck? Why is it so freezing? And then I look at the weather outside. This is on Saturday. I realize, oh, okay, it's cold as fuck outside. Never mind.
Yeah. I mean, and for some reason, I came over here in my regular uniform of like shorts and a hoodie.
You were 18 again.
The whole way, I'm just like cursing myself. I'm like, this is not the way I'm supposed to live. Why don't I own pants?
Back in the day, me and Bobby used to pretty much exclusively wear shorts, right? You wore jeans for a while.
I own a pair of jeans and a pair of cargo pants, and I never wear them.
I remember with the great blizzard of like 94 or whatever it was. I was out there literally walking and shoveling in shorts.
Yeah.
Something happens when I think maybe circulation doesn't get as good as when you get older. Because now I'm cold. I get cold, and I'm wearing, three layers.
I think your fucking balls get more sensitive, because my fucking balls get cold.
Because they hang lower, right?
No, they don't even hang lower. They're fucking trying to crawl up in there when it's too cold. They're like, dude, I'm your balls. Why don't you fucking cover me up a little?
It's cold.
Give me a little fucking help, because balls can't do anything for themselves, right? Your balls can't decide to put a fucking scarf or a hat on. Your balls depend on you to take care of them and keep them warm and shit and keep them fed. And fucking
a pair of nuts with a little scarf around it, like knotted like an ascot.
Pair of nuts. It's got your dick as an arm trying to feed itself coffee and hot soup and shit. No, but your balls depend on you for their survival. So when you pull this like dumb, I'm going to wear shorts in 18-degree weather. They should have an option to just jump off of your body and leave.
But your balls get tight,
Yeah.
You're getting older, they sag, they tighten up.
It's
nice.
Like having, in the cold, it's like having two walnuts in your fucking pants. It's terrible. It makes my dick look bigger, though, which is good.
It's always good. He's putting out now, when he gets home, he puts ice pack on him.
Exactly.
Baby, check this out.
Exactly.
Looks huge.
My problem is I have giant hands, so even if I had a big dick, it would look tiny.
Oh.
Me and my wife, my awesome, awesome wife, who was so cool today. Whatever. I'll get into that later, or I won't. Anyway, my awesome wife and I went to the San Diego Zoo when we lived in San Diego. And one of the exhibits they had was the casts of different animal parts.
Right.
They had a giraffe ear, a fucking, a cow's butthole, whatever. And then they had one, it was a giant bronze gorilla hand. So what do I do? I say, I wonder how my hand matches up to the gorilla.
One-to-one scale replica.
It was a perfect one-to-one scale representation of a gorilla hand.
I'm sorry.
My hand was as big as a fucking gorilla's.
You're kind of a gorilla. If you're like the animal that represented you best.
Fucking racist.
Not out of a race.
No, I definitely agree.
It's your stance, everything. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You like the gorilla biscuits a lot.
My attitude about things, I'll jump on somebody, start pounding on their chest, and I'll take their bananas and shit.
You know when you see the gorillas in the zoo?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was at the San Diego Zoo. Don't you get so sad for them?
I do. I feel bad for him.
I looked at him right in the eye. He basically looked at me going, why are you fucking bothering me? I'm here with my wife and kid.
You know what I think about? I think about how arrogant humans are. It's like white entitlement on a planet-wide scale. I love saying white entitlement when Joe's not here because no one challenges me. It's human entitlement because if you took off that stupid plexiglass wall,
fuck you up.
The shit would be on.
It wouldn't even be on, dude. It'd be over.
Yeah, basically. Over. Even the baby gorillas would come out. You'd see a baby gorilla fucking up a UFC fighter.
The baby chimp would come out and fuck shit up, and you're like, damn.
You'd see Anderson Silva with a baby chimp on his back go, help me, please. I don't know what the Brazilian accent sounds like. That was my best approximation.
That's good enough.
But, yeah, animals, man, it kind of sucks what we do to them because, you know, you say, oh, well, they're fed and taken care of, but an animal is never happy in a zoo.
Yeah, I don't want to be. It's like, okay, look, I'll feed you. I'll give you TV, but you got to stay in this 10-foot by 10-foot box.
Actually, that doesn't sound that bad for me, but sounds I have human intelligence, do I have to so work? It's different. Yeah, but you also have to walk around naked while people come and look at you all day.
And take pictures.
Have you ever seen a happy animal at the zoo?
No.
Have you, like, people say, oh, well, you know, the polar bears aren't out today. Yeah, it's because they're in deep depression because you fucking stuck them in California.
I saw them doing this thing where he would, it was an OCD thing. He would literally walk up to the glass, fall backwards into the water, go down, and literally repeated it like an OCD.
You want to know why?
Depressed.
He was hoping that they drain the water and he'd just fall back and break his neck.
Like, please.
He's like, let this be the one that ends it. I can't take this shit anymore.
The gorilla looked dead me. I'm telling you, looked at me dead in the eye. I felt bad. Mm-hmm. I looked down because I felt so bad. And then he basically gave me like, what the fuck? Grabbed his wife and kid and then walked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. And then we could see him. He would just keep looking over like, what the fuck?
I just think about these dumb fucking rubes that are going there and pointing at him and shit with their nasty half-melted popsicles. And
as a kid, you think, oh, this is the right thing to do. It's great. They're saving, mm-hmm. you know. But then you realize, no, they're not saving anything. These fucking poor things got shipped over here.
You know what the right thing to do would be? Exterminate all the animals of the world.
No, you can't do that.
It would be because they're dangerous.
You can't do that.
They're wild animals.
But you need them. The whole butterfly effect.
But you know what? You think that until you're somewhere where a fucking elk or a deer, or not a deer, like a buck with like 10-point antlers.
When they get the upper hand, you mean is, like
no,
dangerous?
No, when you're, you know, the areas I go out to the country sometimes, and when you're walking up to a front door, and then all of a sudden you realize there's a 10-point buck standing 10 feet to your left, and he doesn't look that thrilled that you're there. And you realize all this joking about how stupid deer are and how we can fuck them up. And you realize this is a 300-pound animal with knives stapled to its head.
Gore! Gore! Yeah.
You look at these antlers and you're like, wow, that looks a lot like something that could fuck me up for good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it'll punch a hole in you, brother.
It's dangerous. Even a regular deer. You don't want to be around a regular herd of deer. That'll stomp you to death.
And they give you Lyme disease.
Fucking hit you up from the flow to the toe, man. It's dangerous shit.
They hit you up from the head to the bed. Wait a minute.
From the dirt to the shirt.
Do you practice those?
No, man. I just come up with them every once in a while. And the phrase was going to be hurt up from the dirt up, but instead I said hurt up from the shirt up, and that's I got good. Real pissed off. But then I just mixed
shirt.
Them together
you just
sometimes.
Drop the shirt. You drop the up and just go hurt drop from the shirt.
It happens, man.
Nice.
I try to sound like I'm from the 70s, but it doesn't work out well. I think I was meant to be the age I am now in the mid-70s.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, Bobby,
definitely,
you're too
definitely.
Into pop culture, bro. There was no
they
pop,
had pop culture,
culture
back
nah,
then.
Nah, they didn't. Not like now.
They never had Starsky and Hutch chips?
They didn't have the fucking internet like we do,
fuck
bro.
Fuck the internet.
You love it.
Do you know how little of the internet I fucking use on
you
a weekly
use it
basis?
Every day. Don't fucking lie.
I use it every day, but I'm going to the same dumb message boards with the same information.
The same
that
dumb
I saw
message
the day
boards
before,
that he consistently
day before.
Gets kicked off of, and then he...
You know my story. That's why.
And then he reboots.
That's why I think I'd be better in the 70s because no one could kick me out of a chat room because a chat room would be like a bar.
It was a bar.
You know, you
throw
wouldn't
me
be
out,
able virtually.
Throw me out.
I'd be like, okay, now put me out. Now what? I was in the office today at work and I had an unlit cigarette in my mouth and this girl behind the desk says, you can't smoke that in here. Well, and, you know, a couple of my buddies were around, so I don't know if I was trying to impress them
with
my...
So you were at work?
I was at work.
Okay.
Wasn't smoking and it was unlit. I just had it in my mouth because I was about to go outside and I said, well, okay. There's two things. I said, number one, it's not lit. And number two, if I lit it up right now, could you stop me?
The fuck are you going to do?
Exactly. And that was the end of that.
You know, people are getting a little too mouthy for their own good.
Everyone's
getting up in everyone else's business. You know what? I'm going to smoke here like a person of class, a little leisure, got a little time. What happened to the good old days where you could have a martini at lunch?
I agree with you to a point. I do think that, you know, I wouldn't smoke in there because I've, you know, I'm a semi-smoker, but I'm still nice to people.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to blow shit in the face.
Sure, I hear you.
But I just don't like the way that we've talked about this before, about how someone who, if they saw you on the street, would never say a fucking word to
right.
you, ever. But because you're in a similar situation to them, they think all of a sudden they can be shitty with you.
Yeah.
It's the gorilla. Wild animal thing.
That's where you got to go gorilla
they
on
got
them,
me
brother.
Behind the plexiglass at the
they
zoo
do.
And they know it.
The plexiglass is
they
called
know
a paycheck.
They just see me diving backwards into the lake every 5 minutes and they say he's safe.
They do.
So what you want to talk about, man? I got a couple things that have been stewing for a week or two now.
You want to take a break? You
let's do
a little shout out for Bobby. This is a convict colony for all the apes locked up.
Little Saul Williams, enjoy, folks. Saul Williams, for you folks out there, play that one for Joe.
Is that Niggy Stardust?
Is that Niggy Stardust? The album's called Niggy Tardust. It's a racial parody. I don't want anybody thinking all of a sudden they're listening to, White Pride Worldwide Radio.
Yeah, which makes me a little upset about last week.
Yeah?
I went for a cheap racial joke, and you didn't call me on it.
You know why? You know, I'm funny. I'm gonna ask you what the joke was in a second. For the first 40 minutes of the show, I didn't say this. I was so fucking irritated at the Haiti jokes that I almost couldn't see straight.
Who had Haiti jokes?
You and Joe were talking about it in kind of a casual way, and Joe kept trying to throw in these jokes about it, like, oh, yeah, they're going to clean the blood off of the walls with the carpet cleaner. Their houses, they are sandcastled over there.
Right.
I was just fuming, but that's why I said to you guys, all right, are you done?
Because
I
hated.
Furious, but I didn't want to get into it because I knew we had more to argue about later.
Well, you had to defend the white of the redheads.
Yeah.
Was that true? I mean, I went along with it.
100%, man.
No, I'm talking about the clown being the Sambo. Did you just go with that?
No. As far as I know, and this is one of those things where you try to research it and right. you can't come up
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, that's what I tried to
do. As far as I know, the clown was the redheaded or Irish version of the Sambo.
Okay,
you know?
So it was like a buffoon.
Yeah, exactly. It was a racial parody.
Okay.
But my feelings about the redhead thing are 100%.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
And we had a buddy of ours who's a real smart dude who put up something about, you know, I don't know if redheads are really an ethnic group or not.
Right.
So I sent a few messages back and forth with him. And then he stopped responding, so I like to think I won.
So we're now
verified, because this is a smart dude, and he bowed out of the argument. So
capped out.
Bobby's 100%.
I'm with you, bro.
100% non-redhead, but I still feel their play. Maybe I got one red hair in my beard somewhere.
You got love for the fire crotch.
We do have a redheaded man in my family at some point.
You do?
Yeah, it was like a massive that got frisky or some shit.
Malcolm X?
No.
Malcolm X was red, right?
Come on, man. I'm talking about some dude who owned a plantation.
Oh.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You see my grandmother, right? She's white as your fucking shirt.
Well, so are you.
Not really.
Yeah, you got a little bit more. Man, you're a little bit darker.
Or you put your shirt next to me, you're going to be...
You're a little bit darker than me.
Yeah, it's only because it's a tan.
Yeah.
It happens.
It's the tattoos.
But what was the racial joke you made that I missed, you fucking racist?
You were
racist?
Saying something about surrounded by something left or right, and I go, tell me about it.
The proliferation of black people throughout the world.
Yeah.
I did catch that, but I was so...
I was so mad that I even said... I said it just to be a jackass. But then I realized, no one realizes I'm being a jackass, and they think I just went for the cheap joke. I was just trying to, like, egg you on, going, oh, I'm waiting for you to say something. And I was so mad you didn't. And then I listened to it, and I was like, oh.
That's the best way to diffuse your racial humor. If I don't respond to it, you just look like a racist.
The funny thing is I never do racial humor. That's the funny thing.
I remind you of Panthro.
That wasn't humor.
I'm not getting into that again.
That's the truth of society, brother.
Look through the archives, folks. Look, keyword Panthro. Find it, listen to it, and you'll understand.
Pretty soon we'll do a best of Bulldog Radio.
Yeah.
All 3 minutes.
Welcome to Bulldog Radio. Good night.
This is a song we all like.
Yeah, but I'll tell you honestly, I did hear it, but, you know, number one, it was a little funny. Number two, it was like I was so busy screaming at Joe about redheads. And I did more research just to bolster my position to find out about this. An ethnic group was, I wish I would have brought the definition with me, but it was like shares certain characteristics and is recognized by other groups as being different.
Well, my,
were two of the main criteria for being an ethnic group.
Well, when I spoke to my wife about it, she actually said, yeah, and did you mention the fact that there used to be like old adages or lore or something in England that the redheads were like the prodigy of the devil or something?
Yeah, yeah. And also there's, you know, they come from certain places, like it's 13% in Scotland and 10% in Ireland.
Right.
So, like, it all bears out the point that they are an ethnic group. I don't want to go into the whole fucking thing again, but it definitely bears out the point that they're an ethnic group. And if you attack an ethnic group based on them being an ethnic group, it's flat-out racism.
I'm with you.
The end.
No one knew that redheads were getting beat up as much.
Joe, what do you think about that? Not having him here is good sometimes. I don't get any arguments.
That's not good, too, though.
No, it is. But, you know, well,
sometimes I like to sit here and watch you lose your shit over, you know.
Now, me and Joe agree on a lot of things.
Except when you sit across from each other.
Yeah.
Somehow the automatic negativity comes out between both of you.
That's why this is going to be a short show tonight, because about 45 minutes of it was going to be me arguing with Joe about politics.
Well, that's the other thing. We set up the whole week about, you know, oh, we're going to talk about this, this, and that. And then when it came to it, it's kind of like, yeah, well, me and Bobby kind of agree. So it's going to be like, hey, Bobby, what about this? You're right, Junior.
Yeah, and if one of us takes the opposite position just to keep things going, it's going to be so obviously counterfeit that there's no point in even doing it.
Yeah, we do real radio, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Man. Now here's a pre-produced bit.
So I was thinking about cops. Let's talk about something else first, because cops, it's an evergreen topic. I can talk about it whenever.
Poor cops, man.
Wealth worship.
In the United States of America.
You told
me a story that fucking made me very angry. Why don't you set it up?
It was about Puff P. Diddy Daddy and his son Justin Combs, who had his 16th. There's a couple reasons why I hate this fucking story. The kid is a boy. He had his 16th birthday.
Right.
And I say boy in a racial sense. He literally is a boy. So hit me up with some P. Diddy while you're at it, why don't you?
All right.
If you can find any.
I'll try.
So the kid is turned 16, and of course he's filming his birthday party for this
Super Sweet 16,
which, number one, flies in the face of anything that I believe America to be, that a boy would have a Sweet 16 party. Well, even a girl having it.
I had one.
Yeah, but you're like Spanish. It was a Quinceañera, right?
Quinceañera.
Yeah. Your abuelita came by and made you a fucking that cake.
It was a surprise birthday party by my girlfriend.
But it wasn't a sweet 16 party. It was a 16th birthday party.
Three hardcore bands played, and we shared a cake that had a skull on it.
I've had birthday parties, too. I know what it's about, you know? But you didn't have a sweet 16.
Well, I had a super 16.
Like, where you come out, and they announce you to the crowd, and it's, that kind of thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming in suave, Senor Junior.
Number one, the kid's name is Justin Dior Combs. Gave him the middle name Dior, which makes me sick to begin with. How this, remora on the ass of Biggie Smalls somehow became a fashionista.
I hate Puffy. He's
I think everybody does. Everybody hates him in his weird triangle mouth. But the kid, for his Sweet 16, it gets filmed for MTV because you have to keep the teenagers worshiping wealth more than anything. Sure. Along with Teen Cribs, which is a new show coming out.
No way.
Even though the houses don't belong to the teens, they belong to the parents of the teens, unless you're talking about like a Miley Cyrus, and it's still her dad's house anyway. But they're coming up with Teen Cribs just to make, in this economic climate, where everything was supposed to be moving back towards normalcy, where we were getting away from this fucking scummy wealth worship, now it's back to, hey, kid, here's something you can never own. Here's a party you can never afford. Now get mad at your parents for not being born into the lucky lottery and being able to afford all this shit for you.
I'm about to lose my shit, dude.
The upshot of this is Puffy, for his overprivileged son, buys him a $360,000 Maybach to drive around in.
Get the fuck out of here.
The kid's not old enough to drive, or he doesn't have his license, so he also buys him a full-time driver. Take him around the city.
Get the fuck out of here.
The kid, of course, says, oh, I feel so blessed. And he also gave him a $10,000 check. And the kid says, well, I'm going to donate the $10,000 check to Wyclef Jean's charity for Haiti.
Oh, because he's so giving.
Because he's so giving that he takes the lion's share of the $360,000 automobile, which by itself, whoever manufactures an automobile that costs $360,000, burn the plant down, find their homes.
There's no plant. They're made by hand, brother.
Wherever the fuck they are, find the Dutch village that Mercedes owns where they build these, burn the factory down.
Find
the people who own the fucking factory who came up with the design, who set the price, murder them, murder their families.
I'm with you, bro.
Don't let this shit continue anymore. Like, we're living in a system now, in a society, where everyone is fucking hurting and broke.
International workers of the world, unite.
Fuck that shit. I want to see the hammer and sickle back in effect.
Dude, we got
to... To each according to their needs, by each according to their means.
We got to go back to the early 1900s where it's the revolt of the people, bro.
Yeah, you can call me Ivan Denisovich, motherfucker.
Bro, these fucking... I can't. I'm going to get too angry.
Go ahead, man. What the fuck else we got to talk about?
Basically, the trusts are back.
Yeah.
Like, we need Teddy back, the trust buster.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have a situation now where... there's always been rich people. There will always be rich people.
Right. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with...
Like the Rothschilds. They're rich, but they're rich way to fuck over where you never even know they exist.
That's not rich. That's wealth.
When you ask them, when they say, there's not enough zeros to tell you how much money I have.
Exactly.
That's what that is. But this ostentatious, disgusting display, when people are broke everywhere for this piece of garbage to buy a 16-year-old kid who can't even drive a car that costs more than most people's houses... And we're all supposed to get up and just, yay, Puffy's kid got a $360,000 car.
We could each buy a house with that, Bobby.
Yeah. I could buy your house and my house for that
That's what I'm saying.
It's disgusting.
Put it together. It's disgusting.
But and the problem is it's not aimed at people like you and me who are in their fucking 30s because we're too smart for this shit. What it's aimed at is these idiot kids who are going to become part of this system of wealth worship and just propagate it and keep it going and going.
We're definitely going to sound like cranky old men, but I don't know what the fuck happened with this society, brother. It used to be people, there was always some kind of brand worship.
Before you start, I just want to say this. Fuck this sounding like cranky old men. You just get perspective and knowledge on life as you get older.
It kind of sounds like we're saying all these damn kids, but, look, if you just look at who's famous today.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of kids who did nothing, who were born rich.
Yeah.
And basically are brats on TV, and for some reason they're looked up to because they have money.
Because the kids that are watching them want the privilege to be those brats or at least to go to those parties with those brats.
But what happened to, like, the seething hatred? Like, you know, it's to the point where even I'm watching American Idol, right? Oh, I'm watching American Idol. What the fuck is wrong with me? But it's, I like it, right? I'm watching American Idol. Avril Lavigne says to this chick who sings Pat Benatar, "I like you. You're punk rock, and I like you." I'm looking at this little bitch going, who the fuck, what the fuck do you know about punk rock? Now, some dude could say to me, what the fuck do you know about punk rock if he was around the 70s? Fine. Cool. I'll be humbled. But who the fuck is this little privileged bitch from Canada going to talk about what the fuck punk rock is?
I've told you, my only dream in situations like this is you get some fucking unemployed dock worker to just, you see her say that, and then you just see the giant arm flying from the side of the screen and the fist mash her face in. But, like, there has to be the kind of thing where everybody just turns on it, but no one will. No one will. Because the people that are young enough to say, we reject this, we will not buy the records. Although, one good story that came out is Heidi Montag. You know who that plastic face freako is?
Yeah, that the Hills. That's another
one. The chick from the Hills.
A bunch of rich bitches.
Her and her fucking creepy husband. Number one, the bitch got so much plastic surgery, she looks like a 45-year-old mother now. It's bizarre. If you search Heidi Montag 2010, she don't even look the way she used to. And I'm disgusted that I even know her fucking name. But the big story now is she put out this record, right? She spent like $2 million to put out a record, and it sold like something like 900 copies.
Good.
And that's it.
Shouldn't even sold that many.
It's a wholesale rejection of this fucking pig. But the problem is they rejected one pig, and they're still propping up 1,000 others. You know?
Yep.
Somehow Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton, still, although Paris is kind of falling off, you don't hear about that pig anymore, but they're all still out there, and they've all still made their money.
Right.
And even when we say they're falling off, they all still have more than we'll ever have.
Ever. And then sometimes I think, well, then who's the asshole? They live their lives. They do nothing.
Uh-huh.
They make money. But they were born that way. It's not like they earned it. But one thing I notice is that the rich give to the rich and keep giving to the rich.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's kind of like, oh, yeah, she's trash for us, but still, we'll give her this, we'll give her that, and we'll give her her lifestyle so she can live it forever.
There's this whole, you know, I can't even say it's subculture because it's just culture that exists where people want to be star fuckers. You know, like the fact that somebody who was on the cast of Jersey Shore can get paid $10,000 to hang out at a bar for a, quote, celebrity appearance.
Right.
It's over, man. I mean, like, these prefab celebrities just pop up, and now all of a sudden they can make a decent living just being their stupid selves.
I don't get that. Like, why would you ever want to go to a club that has
I don't want to go to a club and see fucking Snooki,
no,
ever.
Why would you ever go to a club because someone goes there and drinks? They get paid $10,000 to hang out.
To hang out
drink.
In a VIP area.
That's a nice fucking life, though, right? If you can get it. Bobby, yeah. Imagine how much good times if one of us just broke, like one of our bands or one of us in our crew broke, and then we were the entourage. And think about the shit we would all been
Junior,
jail.
It would have been
in jail.
It would end up being the MC Hammer story, where one of us tries to support the lives of all of us, and we all end up broke.
But we were never dumb like that, though. Like,
nah.
We would have lived well, but like lived smart. You know, we would have one of us would have broke big, and we would all lived comfortably forever.
Dude, I'm in my old age, I'm getting so socially inept, I can't even imagine being in a bar. I can't even have small talk with people I've known for 15 years. The last thing I want to do is be in a fucking bar, constantly looking over my shoulder to see if somebody's trying to stab me.
Yeah,
or some
we don't even talk anymore at all, except it's a microphone.
Exactly, man. The only reason I could talk to you is because I'm looking at the microphone and pretending it's talking back to me.
Hello?
But just the idea that this motherfucker, you know, Puffy, managed to generate such wealth and such a life out of being, you know, a fly on the ass of the rhino that was Biggie Smalls. It makes me sick. And the flaunting of such wealth is the really disgusting part.
It is. It's like, can't you have some class?
Dignity or class?
Some couth?
Dignity isn't even the word.
Couth.
Yeah, just
a little
just
couth,
class.
Huh?
A little decorum to know that.
Stop acting like you're nouveau riche.
I'm glad you said nouveau, you racist. But
nouveau means new.
I know, man. I'm just fucking with you. I know what Joe would have said if he was here.
Oh, I see. It's to the other N-word.
Exactly. Exactly. Racist.
Knight.
I can't wait till you come back next week, Joe. You racist.
I love how you like made Joe a racist.
I know. He's not. Listen, everybody knows he's not, except me. I know he is.
He's racist.
But, you know, that leads me to, I finally saw the movie Notorious, right?
Right.
The Biggie Smalls story. And you ever see it?
I did.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it a lot.
You got any Biggie on there? Give me. Yeah. Turn it up a little.
Come on.
Turn it up a little for a minute.
Ha, sicker than your average. average. Pop a twist cabbage off instinct. Niggas don't think shit stink. Pink Gators, my Detroit players.
This dude died of puppy lip.
What I want to know is, there's no justice.
What's that?
Did Puffy at least do the beat for this or something?
Who the fuck knows?
You know, I'm not a big hip hop guy by any means, but I love Biggie.
You cannot listen to this and not love it. You, if you listen to this, even the most racist, like Opie and Anthony fan would have to listen to this and bob their head in their dumb fucking whack bag t-shirt. You know? You put a dumb racist with this song playing in the background, they'll look at a black girl and be like, yeah, I'll hit it.
Or a black guy. Well,
So I take it down a little bit. So I'm watching this movie, and the kid, I forget what, I'm thinking like Christopher or something, but that was Biggie Smalls' real name. Yeah, the kid that played Biggie was fucking terrific, and he looked like Biggie. And he was, you know, he's a big mess.
He did a good job.
Yeah, yeah. He must have put some. Biggie. He must have done like Marlon Brando and put some cotton in his mouth to give himself the jowls and Biggie had.
Nah, he ate extra, fucking extra food. Put a little art on her. Yeah. Later.
But the story was good. I mean, like it was a realistic depiction. I don't know who was in charge of it. I don't know if it was Violetta Wallace's mom.
Yeah, it was his mom and Puffy. So they really? Came out looking really good in that movie.
But you know, honestly, they didn't. And I tell you why, because Puffy got turned into a bitch in almost every scene in that movie. So I think maybe if he was in charge, that movie was his apology to the world. And please don't shoot me, I know I was a bitch.
Mr. Suge, I'm sorry.
Well, they had the part where Suge Knight was on stage saying, if y'all don't want your fucking producers dancing in the background of your videos, come to death row. And Puffy's like, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Keep it quiet. I don't want to die.
All of a sudden, you got that stereotypical black guy doing a white comedian voice that you always talk about.
Excuse me. Mr. Suge Knight.
Is there a problem here, mister?
Fuck, he didn't want to end up like Vanilla Ice hanging outside of a fucking building in Miami.
But it showed, like, honestly what this dude was like. He was a fucking scumbag.
He was.
He had a bunch of good things going, and he kept fucking them up. He had a bunch of good chicks in his life. He kept fucking them over one after another after another.
Yeah, little Kim.
Yeah. How you fuck things up a little pre-plastic surgery? All right, listen. Let's not act like little Kim looks like anything other than 2 pounds of shit in a 1 pound bag now.
No, she looks like 2 pounds of silicone.
Yeah, she's a mess. She got that Jocelyn Wildenstein
sad, right?
face.
Isn't that sad?
That cat face.
Isn't that sad when people do that shit to themselves?
Yeah, man.
What the fuck is wrong with you? People, no one likes that.
No.
Unless
but that's,
you're like
it's a fucking,
Joan Rivers.
But it's a mental illness. It's a mental illness that makes people chop up their face and titties and ass.
It's a fucking crime what these fucking doctors do.
But fuck that, man. Back to Biggie. So it was good because it showed that, you know, when somebody pranked him and said, you know, Biggie, you fat fuck, you ain't getting out of L.A. alive.
Right.
You knew that was what really happened because they didn't try and sugarcoat it and say, yo, big man. They said, no, you fat motherfucker. Fuck. You ain't making it out alive.
Hey, Tubby.
Yeah. Hey, you chubby, greasy motherfucker. You know, they really made it realistic.
You got to love Biggie, bro, because you can hear the fat in his rhymes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he still got choking. Laid, man. Still
bro.
Got laid. Still got laid, still got paid.
And he's laying on his back going, you do all the work,
yeah,
sweetheart.
Yeah, he's like, you know I can't get up. If I fall on you, it's over.
Especially little Kim.
Little Kim's 4 feet tall. But this is the problem I had with the movie. I thought the movie was fucking terrific and I really enjoyed it, but after a while it just became like a bad Channel 11 movie with all the celebrity impersonators. Because none of them look like the people they were supposed
to be.
That's
true, it's true. Even Lil' Kim didn't look like Lil' Kim.
Suge Knight looked like a fat toad. Suge Knight, you ever seen Suge Knight?
Yeah,
he's
bro.
Like 6'20", and he's a built motherfucker.
He's a solid motherfucker.
Right? He ain't no fuck. Put on some more Biggie in the background. He ain't no fucking slimy mess like they made him look. The guy they had playing Suge Knight looked like a toad. Literally looked like a light-skinned toad.
He did, but you hate this, bro, but listen to shit.
It's good. Nah, it's all right, man. I don't hate Big Papa. It's just not one of my favorite Biggie songs.
I just love that like 90s beat sound in the background.
Yeah, that's some Def and Roger I Want to Be Your Man shit. This is how good Biggie is. I forget what I was going to fucking say. And I'm a dude.
Is it really that Biggie's good? Or is that the beats they took were so fucking
It might be Puffy's credit, so I refuse to give it to him and say it's all Biggie.
What was the song that this beat came from?
I can never think of a song when I'm listening to a song. You'd have to turn it off. But anyway, take it down a little bit. So the guy that got playing Puffy looks more like Cockroach from the Cosby Show than Puffy. Right?
I think it was Cockroach.
The girl they got playing Faith Hill, it looks kind of like Faith Hill. I can't fault them on that one. But the kid they got playing Tupac, they might as well got Ashy Larry from Chappelle's Show to play him. The dude they got playing Tupac looked nothing like him and talked nothing like him.
It was like he was doing this bad California, but that's because I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, fuck you, we're going to ruin it.
Yo, they disrespected Tupac so much in that movie. And it's just, I don't know who the fuck it was that played him. They should have got like, I don't know, Sticky Fingers from Onyx or some shit. Anybody would have been better. No, he wasn't.
He's an actor for real now.
Yeah, he is an actor. Yeah, but yeah, he played Blade in the TV show. Yeah, but the guy they played Tupac.
He acted like he was a ghetto rat in in that movie, in that band. He was never like that.
They were all barbers. You know the story of Onyx, right?
No, I don't.
They were all fucking barbers. They did a De La Soul band, right? Like, I'm talking flowers and paisley shirts.
Right, right.
And then when gangster rap took over,
said, oh,
shaved the heads, turned into gangsters. But this movie got so bad at points, I was wishing people were wearing name tags. And like, when he meets Tupac for the first time, he has to say, yo, that's when I met Pac. Just so you knew who the fuck it was he was talking to. Because you never would have known otherwise.
Not at all.
I love the movie, but I thought the celebrity impersonators, it was like that fucking designer imposter fragrances. If you like Tupac, try this fucking half-hearted motherfucking stab at it.
But I think they really just... I personally think it was definitely a vendetta to make those people look bad.
Yeah, I don't know, but none of them look that bad. Like, Tupac gets shot.
Well, they didn't want to fucking get killed. You think he wanted to die? Whoever killed Biggie was still around, brother.
Yeah, I mean, in the scene where they killed Biggie, it was, I don't know, that was really well done. I didn't feel anything for it, because, you know, fuck Biggie Smalls, what the hell I care? Especially since, you know, begat upon the world, Puff Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, his death was the best thing that ever happened to Puff Daddy.
Yeah, it's like he might as well have eaten Biggie Smalls' corpse.
He did, bro.
Just a giant cash bubble would have popped out of his ass.
Day after day, year after year.
Which one's this? Oh, fuck. Juicy Fruit, motherfucker.
By Matume.
Yeah. M Matume, not Matume. What, you think it's some African dude wrote it? M Matume.
Matumbe, whatever.
Juicy. I don't want to get too far off the track. So, we like Notorious. The celebrity impersonators were a little poor.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it was really almost like a made-for-TV movie. Like
exactly.
If VH1 put it out, it would have been really, really good.
I don't even think there were any, like, naked tits in it. It was a made-for-TV movie with cursing.
No, there was naked tits.
Were
there? Yeah. What's her name? The little Kim chick.
Oh, yeah?
I don't remember that. Maybe I'm wrong.
Anyway, but I think it would have been better, because a lot of these people that were in this story are still alive.
Yeah.
They should have just played themselves.
Well, if they could have gotten them.
Well, if Puff was in charge of it.
I'm calling him Puff, like
he's my fucking buddy.
It'd be funny if you see Puff Daddy come in all... you know, they put that makeup to make him look young.
Yeah, that'd be fucking funny. Like Professor X from the X-Men movie. So, but yo, fuck all this Biggie Small shit. I'm sick of it.
I don't know. You know what, bro?
Yeah.
It really is his fault that Puffy's rich.
It is. And this makes me think about something else, right? Like just taxes in general and shit like that.
Right.
On the money thing.
Well,
everybody's...
It's funny. You talk about taxes and then you're like, oh, they're raising the taxes. They're raising the taxes. You know what? If he can afford $360,000 for his fucking 16-year-old kid plus a driver plus 10 G's, that motherfucker should be paying more taxes.
This is why, you know,
privilege to live in this country.
You know, I'm from the Northeast, you know, and of course you listen to, like, you know, Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and shit. And Stern lately has been almost like a fucking proletariat hero, like, where he's like, yeah, I pay taxes and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, because the dude knows that everybody knows he made $500 million, so.
He's good for life.
Yeah, so nobody's saying shit. But then you listen to, like, this dumb Opie and Anthony shit where, like, and, you know, the Opie dude, he don't give a fuck about nothing. He's like, I pay what I pay.
Right. It's funny because I think he's genuinely, probably more of the lefty on the show.
Yeah. Well, this is the depressing part, and I'll get to it in a second. And this is not, you know, I don't want to get too much into, like, trash and radio shows because we ain't starting a radio war with nobody because nobody fucking listens to us anyway.
We'll take it.
I'll take it in a minute. I'll walk right into the building.
Pay me, baby. Pay me.
But this Anthony asshole. The problem is this old rich creep. He complains about how much he's getting taxed and how much he's getting taxed. Number one, he's talking about something on a state level. And then he tries to blame it on the mood that Obama created in the country.
Right. And they keep saying Obama did Obama raise taxes yet?
I'll tell you what. I did my taxes on Monday.
You did them already?
Got my W-2, did them the same night.
Nice.
TurboTax, motherfucker.
Pay for it.
Of course I pay for it. I'm a loyal customer at TurboTax. If they want to sponsor, Bulldog Radio Show at Yahoo.com. So I do my taxes. I made more this year than I did last year.
All right.
Considerable amount more. Let's say like maybe $5,000 more.
I actually had some OT.
Considerable for me, not considerable to, you know, like someone rich.
Well, if you made 100 G's, that's a 5% raise.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's pretty simple.
Well, I didn't make no 100 G's. But
100 G's?
So I do my taxes. I have less deductions than I did last year. I made more money.
Right.
I'm getting back $1,000 more than I did last year.
Nice.
Less deductions, more money.
Nice.
Where's this fucking tax raise everybody
you know,
was talking
all
about?
All these people keep talking about, like, do I give a fuck if someone's making $250,000 a year is getting taxed more? No, I don't.
And how much are they getting taxed more? What are they paying, an extra $5,000,
well,
$6,000?
The funny part is, you know, people keep – I know I've said it before. People love Reagan. Well, during Reagan, it was like 60% tax.
Yeah, I just got to say, you know, taxes raised, shut the fuck up, you know?
It all happened because of Richard Milhouse Nixon, and I point to that era where everything changed in this country, and the government literally got taken over by the corporations. And the corporations were wily and smart. They said, we're just going to put our people in power. And they bought, and then they even stopped paying off politicians. They go, you know, we're just going to buy the Supreme Court.
Well, back to the original point, you know, a wealthy – no, you can get back into it, man. I just want to lose the point that – you get these wealthy fucks, millionaires, who live in mansions, who build fucking, like, full radio studios in their basement, who brag about having a $16,000 Con Ed bill, and I'm supposed to feel bad that they get hit a little harder on taxes?
Right. And it's funny because all the people who are anti-tax, like, Rush Limbaugh and all them,
yeah.
These are all the fucking douchebags making a shitload of money. Yeah, of course you're going to complain some. But how about, you know, the majority of America, the middle class, the people, you know what, and I'll even say, look, in New York City, in the New York metro area, if you're making 100 G's, you are not rich.
Definitely.
You are barely middle class.
That goes without saying.
You know, 40 G's somewhere else, you know, it's like fucking 150 G's here.
You have 100,000 in Nebraska, you walk in like Uncle Pennybags from Monopoly singing Wearing the Money.
Dude.
But in New York, yeah, it ain't shit.
And every once in a while, I keep thinking, man, maybe if we could just find a job making 60 G's living like in North Carolina or something.
I think we both already found that.
No, not in North Carolina.
Oh, okay. But
the problem is live in North Carolina.
But like the other problem with these fucking wealthy douchebags is that they act like the number that's on paper. Like when it says taxes for the rich will be 35%.
Right.
They act like they're really paying that 35%.
Like they're not paying
like
the
they're
loopholes.
Not incorporated.
Right.
Like they don't have 100 loopholes.
Like they don't throw a fucking horse and a duck on their property and call it a farm.
Yeah, like Christy Whitman, when I used to go up to her place every once in a while for work, she had a 10x10 plot of land practically, exaggerated for entertainment purposes. And she called her place a fucking farm.
Right.
It was outstanding.
Right.
And there's no fucking farm there.
Yeah, she threw a couple of chickens and a horse, right?
Yeah, but, you know, you get these dudes who act like if it's 35% on the paper, that's how much they're paying, when you know goddamn well they ain't really paying that much.
None of them are. Even the corporations, though. They pay like 3% in tax, and they're like, oh, we're getting ripped off on these taxes.
But it's like the same point as that, like, Puff Daddy buying his kid the $360,000 car thing. You get these people that are so out of touch, and it's like they're just... they're disgustingly flaunting what they have and then expecting us to care when they cry poverty. You know, for a dude that constantly talks about the money he blows, what he wastes, how he doesn't give a fuck about this, how he burns off gas doing that, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to feel bad for you when you get taxed?
What, like Hannity?
Suck my dick, motherfucker. Get
Hannity.
Taxed all day.
Exactly. Fuck you. Pay it.
Yep. Fuck you, pay it. If you didn't live like you were wealthy, you'd stay wealthy longer.
Hey, you know what? And I'm not saying that people shouldn't get rewarded for doing well in life. Everyone, that's fine.
Agreed.
But you know what? Pay your fucking share. You know, you're lucky enough to live in this country. Pay for it, sucker.
Sounds good to me. Let's hit a break, man.
Finally,
malfunction.
This is Cro-Mags with Malfunction. I played that one because me and little Von Doom were hanging out at the house, and he's almost three now, so he's like getting to be the man of the house. And we're listening to Cro-Mags.
He's fucking shit up.
And he fucking hates Malfunction.
He hates it.
So I played that to fuck with him.
It's because the end of the song goes,
No, he just doesn't like it. Hard Times, he fucking love Hard Times. Dance Around Like a Motherfucker. Also danced to Public Enemy,
nice.
Which made me very happy. Malfunction hated that shit.
Why?
He told me to go to sleep.
Did he give you the stink face? Like,
he looked at me and he told me to go to sleep.
Yo, Bobby's little kid, Von Doom, is basically little Bobby. He's like mini me, but it's so tiny. And he's the cutest little kid, but it's just like Rob. You'll get him and he'll be pissed as fuck one day and he'll just give you the stink face. It's the funniest thing because he does the same mannerisms and moves you do. It's fucking hilarious.
Try watching a Hulk cartoon with him. I was watching this, this is for the comic kids, you know. Planet Hulk was a storyline in the Hulk comics where the Hulk gets shot off to an alien planet and he becomes like a gladiator and shit. It's fucking awesome. They made a cartoon out of it, right? So I download it and I'm watching it. I buy it and I'm watching it. And, you know, he comes back into the office and I pause it because I'm like, he can't watch this. This is insanely violent. This, like, not for little kids at all. I'm talking about heads exploding. Dude's getting stabbed through the neck and shit.
Right.
But he sees the freeze frame of the Hulk, and he goes, "The Hulk movie?" And
I said, all happy?
Said, "Yeah, but you can't watch it." And he goes, "I want to watch a Hulk movie!" Like, all pissed off.
Hulk smash!
So I'm like, ah, fuck. So I start playing it, and the kid just starts screaming. Like,
loved it.
And I'm like, is he scared? Because his face looks all weird. And I realize he thinks he's the Hulk. The Hulk falls down, he jumps on his back. The Hulk smashes something, he jumps up and pounds the ground with both of his fists.
Awesome.
So I say, are you getting scared? You want me to turn this off? He goes, no, turn it off. Oh, and he won't let me fucking turn it off. And it's totally inappropriate for him to be
your
watching.
Your house is getting wrecked. Wrecked.
I don't even mind that so much, but like, you get into this struggle when you're a parent where you know you shouldn't let the goddamn kid watch this because it's meant for older kids.
Right, right.
But at the same time,
he loves it.
If you don't let him watch it, you're going to be in a battle for the next hour, you know? He's going to be screaming at you for a full hour while you try to explain to a three-year-old why he shouldn't be watching something. But he does like the Cro-Mags and Public Enemy, so it can't all be bad.
He's fucked. You're fucked when he's 13, brother.
Yeah, whatever, man.
You
it
are
happens.
Fucked.
I'll be dead by then anyway.
Are we trying to fight you?
No. You got to scare him early.
Yeah, see, you do.
Scare him early, scare him often.
Like 7, 8, 9, and 10, you got to terrorize the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
So it's not until 18 that they think I can take him, but then they have like a – they're like, but I love him now.
Well, you know how that works though, man. Like, kids remember their fathers as giants because you've been around in their life since they were little kids, so – they get that genetic fear of you. Like the lion with the whip in the chair and shit. The lion shouldn't be scared of the whip.
No, but
the whip cracked him
kid.
Once, right? The whip cracked him once, and now
never
he has
forgot.
That memory of
it. Yep. He's Pavlov's dog in it, motherfucker.
Let me tell you some more about whip crackers. Crackers in general, police. So everybody knows how I feel about the police.
I think...
Fuck them.
This is how you feel about the police.
This next record is dedicated to some personal friends of mine.
Wow, I was going to go with fuck him. Not kill him, but close
for
enough.
Every cop that has ever taken advantage of somebody,
this is Bobby.
Beat him down
really
or hurt him because they got long hair, listen to the wrong kind of music, wrong color, whatever they thought was the reason to do
what a
it.
Pompous asshole.
For every one of those fucking police,
song?
I'd like to take a pig out here in this parking lot
damn, Bobby.
And shoot him in their motherfucking face.
Bobby, what was wrong with you back then?
Worst band ever.
Greatest concept ever. Perfect timing. I used to realize my rap career is dead.
He goes, but listen to how awful this music is.
Yeah! It's very... Like, even for early 80s hardcore, this would have been looked down upon.
The drums are fucking terrible.
Who said black people got beat? This shit's been too long. You get no quest, love.
I'm trying to find any redeeming quality in this music, and there ain't much.
It's this part right here.
I'm about to dust some caps off! Well, that part was pretty fucking rad, I ain't gonna lie.
That's how Bobby usually feels about cops.
I was thinking more NWA, fuck the police. But I see your point. So, you know, I fucking hate cops, because, you know, with me, life is a constant struggle for respect. Not even a struggle so much, but it's like, respect is very important to me. And I hate the fact that society has manufactured respect because of a badge. When you walk into a situation with a cop, you're forced to respect them no matter what you think about them.
The funny thing is, when cops came about, they were looked down upon by regular society. I mean, they called them coppers as a fucking, you know, it was a job.
Talking about the filthy copper in their badge.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you fucking copper. What are you doing here? And they were like looked at like, you're a fucking rat. You're a fucking turncoat to the society.
I understand the point of them, right?
Sure. And it's funny. I'm not anti-cop, but I'm anti-police, like, oppression. You know what I mean? Like, when the police think they can fuck a rule shit and they're above the law. Like, I saw a motherfucker.
You got police oppression on there? Always
police. Police oppression.
But, go ahead.
But, I saw this cop the other day, bro. He must have been, like, watching a movie, eating a hoagie or a sub. But I live in South Jersey now, so they call it a hoagie around here. Fuck, he's got a hoagie in one hand, a fucking movie playing on the dashboard, a coffee on the other, speeding, running through a red light, a stop sign. I'm like, you motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was thinking in my head is I wish I had like a flip camera. And he was on a cell phone.
But, like, you know, I mean, they are humans.
Sure, they take advantage like all of us would, too.
But, like, that's my main problem, though. You have to respect this cop no matter what. Even if he gets out of line with you, even if he acts like a total inappropriate asshole, you got to kiss that cop's ass.
Yeah, I say yes,
because
sir, no, sir.
He's got a million ways to get you. Resisting, disorderly, whatever. He's got a million ways to get you.
Right.
So the other day I'm leaving for work. It's like, take this down a little bit. I feel like I'm competing with Ice-T's horrible guitar solo work. Or whoever the fuck Moose Man, whoever his guitar player was. So I'm driving to work down the main drag of our town. And we live in a little, you know, prairie town.
We do.
And the speed limit is 25 on a main drag. Keep in mind, it is now
25.
It is 4:55 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing about 40.
Right?
Get to the end of the street by the intersection of the highway, see the cop. Fuck! See the cop, see the exhaust coming out, the lights are off, see him sitting in there. Fuck, they got me.
Right.
So I see the car immediately whip around. I'm confusing two different days. What happened was, I was driving down maybe like 35, and I see this car that started, and I think to myself, oh fuck, this guy's going to pull out in front of me, I better gun it a little bit.
Right.
And that was the cop. So I gun it a little to get past him, and he pulls out behind me. And I make the right onto the highway, and I'm immediately, I got the turn signal on, and I'm slowing down because I know I'm getting pulled over. So I pull over on the side of the highway next to this big empty parking lot, and he hits the sirens, the klaxon, and goes, blah, blah, blah. So I pull into the parking lot. I assume he wants me to pull into the parking lot.
Right.
The dude comes up. I stop the car, hands on the wheel, dome light on and shit because, you know, I don't want no cop fucking with me.
Right.
And he walks around, and I say, yeah, I assumed you wanted me to pull into the parking lot here. And he's like, yeah, sorry, dude, I don't have a microphone in the car, a PA in the car. And I'm like, this cop just say, number one, did he just say sorry? And number two, did he say sorry, dude?
Right.
I'm like, all right, you know, maybe I got Officer Spicoli. So immediately he goes in and he's like, yeah, you know, and I before he says anything, I say, yeah, I know I was probably doing about like, you know, 30, 35. And he said, no, you were doing 40. And I go, yeah, fair enough. And he's like, you know, it is 25. Well, and he said, you know, you got to be careful this time of year. People make their New Year's resolutions and they're out there jogging. And I realize this guy's being like all like friendly and shit with
me.
He's just talking to me like we're two dudes.
He must have ran your plates and realized you lived in the town.
He didn't even have time to run my plates. He pulled me over and then immediately jumped out of the fucking car.
Wow.
So we're just bullshitting, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I woke up a little late for work. I'm just trying to get to work. And he's like, yeah, I know you're a city resident, and I know you got kids, so. And I'm like, how the fuck does this dude know I got kids?
Oh, shit.
What the fuck is going on here? Is this dude, like, sitting outside my fucking house?
Nah, I guess, you know, we don't live that big of a town.
Yeah, I know, but still, it creeped me the fuck out.
I know what you mean. You're like, why do you know me?
So this, like, friendly cop interaction almost turned real ugly.
You're freaking me out. Because
the first, like, the words were almost falling out of my lips. How the fuck do you know I got kids? But it transmogrified in mid-sentence to, hey, man, thanks, appreciate it. And the whole time he's saying sorry to me, like, hey, sorry.
Wow.
And I was like, hey, yeah, man, I'll try to keep the speed down. And he sent me on my way, no warning, no ticket, no nothing. And I'm like,
finally a cop
like, holy
really
shit.
Gave you a break.
Like, do I like fucking cops now?
You do like cops now.
And I realized, that's only one cop out of a million, so fuck him. I still hate cops. Like this asshole cop in Indianapolis who fuck with this poor 26-year-old who was just there to see a dumb football game.
He did.
In this situation, I want to say fuck the kid and the cop because I hate football fans. But I have to be on the side of the kid because the video's out there on YouTube. Jets versus the Colts.
Right.
They're having a tailgate party as they do it. You know, football games is just what they do. Cop starts driving a car right through the Jets fans. Funny, the Indiana cop is fucking with the New York fans. So anyway, they pick out one kid, right? They decide to pick out the one kid to fuck with him.
Right, right.
You see on the video, and this cop doesn't know he's getting taped, which
is
the best part.
Nope. Hey, cop. Yeah. I mean, I know you're not in, you know, it's Indianapolis. It's a city. People have phones with video on it now.
They don't know about the Midwest. They don't know about shit in the Midwest.
I think they do.
They think you still got to, like, carve a picture if you want to take it. Like, what the fuck they used to call that shit? Something-o-graph?
The Flintstones?
Nah, not like
the pictograph?
A pictograph. I didn't see a pictograph machine. So,
hold on a second. Must make a stipple of your picture. The fucking dot, dot, dot.
They're doing some pointillism painting exactly. Of it and shit. But, you know, they single out this kid, and in the video, the first thing you see, this kid is basically just standing there, not doing anything. He's standing with his back to the cops, and he kind of puts his shoulders up like, where do you want me to go?
Because the cops are trying to drive through. It's a sea of blue, and he's got the one green jersey on.
And he can't move anywhere.
And everyone else is like yelling at the cop car beforehand.
This kid is doing nothing.
All you see is a cop car. This cop jumped the I don't even know how he stopped the car and jumped out in time. That was amazing.
And the first thing he says to the kid is, what the fuck you say to me?
I think, actually, let's hear it. I think we have it here. Yeah.
Better kill that music then.
Oh, fuck.
So anyway, the upshot is the cop jumps out and immediately says, you have it?
Yeah, I do.
Bear with us, folks.
Here's the crowd. The cop car is going to the crowd.
Just let it play out. Yeah, what you just heard right there, that was the cop. That wasn't some drunk fan yelling at the cop.
And he's just standing
there. That
was
the fucking cop. It was a kid who was just standing there, basically shrugged his shoulders as if to say, you can cut the video. Basically shrugged his shoulders as if to say, I got nowhere to move even though you're driving your car through here. Where do you want me to go?
Right.
This asshole cop jumps out. What the fuck did you say to me? And the kid didn't say anything.
No, he's looking at him like, what are you talking about? And then
grabs him, throws him against the back of the car. Beer gets dumped on the ground. Another cop comes up, grabs the other kid's arm. The kid doesn't see the cop, so he kind of pulls his arm away for like a half a second.
He doesn't even know what the fuck is going on.
Next thing you know, you got this animal with a taser on the back of his neck pushing him up against the car. Got this kid in the bitch position with his balls and dick pressed up against his kid's asshole. And what they didn't realize was...
I know what you smell. You have beautiful ears.
So, kid comes there, he goes to jail, he's got a little wet spot on the back of his pants. No idea what the fuck happened.
He knows what happened.
The cops at the dry cleaner.
He knows what happened.
The good part about this story is it was all caught on tape.
You dummy.
There was a New York Post photographer there covering the Jets who got a perfect picture of this animal cop with this fucking savage of a cop with his taser in the back of this dude's neck. And you get all these dick suckers who are all like, yeah, we're on the side of the police, like these Opie and Anthony assholes again. Or side of the police. The kid, he did pull his arm away, so that gives him justification. These motherfuckers cannot wait to be a supplicant or a bitch to the police. What can we do to be on your side? Even though it's obvious to anyone that this kid did nothing to deserve this, they couldn't wait to find a way for the cops to be right.
Bro, I don't even hate cops, but I hate cops. I hate the concept of the police. Like, you know, I know they're necessary somewhat. But I just hate the concept that someone literally can come into my house and do shit, and I can't do dick about it.
Yeah, we got into this with that Henry Louis Gates thing.
That shit freaked me out.
I understand to a point. I understand the cops to a point. If you can't defend yourself, you got to have somebody to defend you. But like with me, like if somebody's being too loud on the block and I go out and I want to yell at them and they say something to me, I want to be able to smack their face.
Street justice.
Send them inside.
Street justice.
Instead, I got to go, yeah, you got to be quiet, and they say fuck you to me. You'd be like, I'm going to call the police.
Right.
Because if I don't call the police, and if I punch them in the nose,
they call
the police on me. But like I said, you get these dudes who can't wait to find a reason for the cops to be right, even when they're so obviously wrong.
Yeah,
I don't know. This star fucker thing with cops.
When did that happen? Like in society? I noticed that too. It's like, look, I don't know. It goes to like the whole thing. I said, whatever. I don't want to get into that. But Why do people want to give away their rights so bad? Why do
because they feel like they're on the winning side.
But why do they? But you're not. You're not part of that team.
There's a lot of dudes who are friends with police, like these assholes we were talking about before, like on that show.
Bro, I hung out with police in New Year's.
On that show, they're all friends with the cops, and they have cops on their payroll and ex-cops on their payroll.
Right.
So that's why they kiss ass to the cops.
Right.
But, like, it's so obvious that this dude, and the best part about this dumb cop, he filed a false report after the fact about the incident, saying that they arrested two guys. The kid was cursing at him and throwing beer and shit.
Oops.
Yeah. And then a videotape comes out, and you realize
he
fabricated the whole fucking thing.
Well, someone's going to lose their job and maybe even get, I don't know, arrested for violating someone else's civil rights.
That'd be terrific. And everybody says, oh, well, it's just, you know, a money grab. Fuck it. Pay that kid some money.
You know, that kid should get paid because his civil rights were violated.
I'm not saying he needs $1 million.
I'm saying he needs $1 million.
Pay him out 50 grand for the fucking hassle.
You got to pay a real payment. Your civil rights were violated. That way they don't do it again.
The kid, well, I'm not even in the we're doing this so they don't do it again camp because I know it'll happen again. I'm in the, this motherfucker went to Indiana. No one wants to go to fucking Indiana.
Right.
No one on earth wants to go to Indiana.
How pissed would you be? You went to go do something, and then you had to spend the night in jail.
8 hours in jail.
For nothing.
And you missed the thing that you were there
but
to
you
see.
And you didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. You did nothing.
Like, you know, even $1 million, I might not be happy. It's like, I want that motherfucker dead. You fucking took me and violated me for no fucking
reason. That's what I'm
saying
about these cops, man. You have to. I hate the fact that they have manufactured respect. Where even when that cop comes out, think about it this way. A 26-year-old dude, you remember ourselves when we were 26.
Sure.
If some dude came up to you in the street and all of a sudden just jumped out of his car and said, the fuck you say to me? What the fuck's your problem?
Beyond.
The next shot would have been fist crashing into mouth.
Two shots.
And then saying, that's what I fucking said to you.
It would have been two shots.
Yeah.
Fist to his face, his face to the floor.
But you know what I'm saying? But with the cop, this
I'm
going to
tell a little story that
weren't
around for. Friend of mine.
Yes.
A friend.
Yes.
Of mine. Kind of looks like me.
Yeah, I know your friend. His name is Junior.
No. He's a friend of mine. So anyway, he was underage drinking.
Yeah.
In a town. I'm not going to say the town anyway. He's walking down the street and, you know, him and his friends are boozed up. They're feeling nice. They're looking for a little rowdy time.
Yeah, I got you.
So this dude is screaming at this chick outside a bar. So this friend of mine looks over and goes, it was my man. You don't need to be up in the ladies'
grill. You
told
this story on the air, you motherfucker.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Across state lines.
That guy pulled a badge out. I don't know if I told this part of the story.
No.
And he said, I'm a cop. And I said, yeah? Show me your fucking badge. He goes, I'm a cop. Let's step back there. I go, no, show me your badge number, motherfucker. And I swear to God, I guess he's not used to dealing with halfway decent people because he didn't know what the fuck to do. And I go, come on. He goes, no, you can come back here. I'll show you my badge back here. I go, show me here in front of everyone, you stupid motherfucker. And I'm yelling at him.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then
was he actually a cop or not?
Yeah, he was a cop.
He pulled out his badge?
He didn't pull it out, but he was a cop.
You found out?
Or he was a cop.
But honestly, though, in that situation, you were still fine anyway because the dude's practically assaulting the chick out in the street. Bunch of witnesses. You ask for a badge number, he won't.
Yeah.
As soon as he says those words.
He heard badge number, he got nervous.
As soon as he says those words, I'm a cop, and he turns it into that situation where it's like, now you have to listen to me even though I'm a drunk in the street.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, well, since you're a cop, give me the badge number. We'll talk to your superior tomorrow.
Dude, that's exactly what I said. So give me your badge number if you're a cop. And he didn't know what the fuck to do. I guess he was like,
good. Fuck him. Fucking hillbillies.
Yeah.
But that's.
Sorry about that.
The whole thing just bothers me. Like, I hate the fact that this dude, even when this animal came up, this fucking savage came up to him screaming at him, had to still not just go, yo, fuck you, asshole, and swing with him. He had to go, what? I didn't do anything.
See, and it would have been wrong. If he had punched that cop in the face, right?
He'd be fucked.
But he would have been arrested, and everyone were like, well, he assaulted an officer.
Yeah, yeah.
But the officer assaulted him. When do you have a right to defend yourself against police brutality?
But that's the problem. You can't defend yourself ever against police brutality.
Right.
They say basically, oh, you just have to take it.
Right.
And then once it's all over.
Right.
So what? I have to put my life at risk?
You got to be Rodney King and get lumped the fuck up.
Like if this cop came up to him and was acting that vicious and wild and he grabbed that taser and spun it around and stuck him, he'd be in prison for years, man.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like how did we come to this point where you can't defend yourself against a cop.
Right.
You can't even say anything to a cop, and half of the fucking society can't wait to suck the dick of the cop.
When did a cop have the right to violate your rights? And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, even if I go, you know what, fuck you, you cop. I don't like you. I don't like cops. And I'm not saying that to me, but I'm saying if someone goes, you know, fuck the police, you don't have a right to be here, fuck you. You know what? They have a right to say that. It's a fucking America. But for some reason, people are like, oh, no, you have to respect the police. And I go, you know, you have to respect them to a little bit, I guess.
Yeah,
show you gotta, but no more than any other normal person. I say you respect everyone.
But the thing is, in this case, even if the case is now where you just have to be their bitch and put up with it, then, yeah, there should be a cash payout at the end.
Pay me, baby.
So these same people who are saying the cops are always right can't come back and say, oh, it's just a money grab from a lawyer. Well, this is the system you set up. I can't do anything to the cop to defend myself. I can't say anything to the cop to explain myself. So, yeah, I'll take the money at the end when you show that he was completely 100% wrong. You know what I'm saying?
You're right,
if this is the system you set up, this is why we needed Joe here, man. He would have been arguing
the whole
time.
But whatever, brother.
I love cops.
You know, I read this story recently, right?
Yeah.
And I wanted to see what you think.
Go ahead, man.
Man in court over Simpsons porn.
Go with it.
Ever get the... Well, a 28-year-old man.
28-year-old's getting a lot of trouble, man.
Seriously.
I had a story about a 28-year-old, too. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to read the whole story as it is. Ever get the urge to look at pornographic drawings of famous cartoon children? Neither
Never.
Do I, but 28-year-old Kurt James Milner did. And that's what got him registered as a sex offender.
Whoa.
Police received a tip about the pornographic material and eventually found images featuring child characters from the Simpsons and Powerpuff Girls on Milner's computer. Back in 2008, a Supreme Court judge in Australia, so it's Australia, it's not America, ruled that cartoons in which
they have
child,
a Supreme Court out there?
That's just like
they bang a boomerang or some shit?
In which child characters engaged in sexual acts is child pornography.
Yeah.
Now.
Here's the go ahead with your question.
Now, just taking the scenario, if someone has pictures, drawings of naked children on their computer, should they be A, arrested?
Is this a multiple choice?
No.
A, arrested. B, not arrested. C, none of the above.
Should they be arrested and treated as a sex offender?
This is a difficult thing, and I'll tell you why. I go to a lot of websites online to like download shit.
Right.
It's like music or fucking whatever. Or even just like message boards. And it seems like there's been a porn infiltration everywhere.
Right.
Like everything you get is, it has the name of your town. If you're from fucking Skokie, Illinois,
it
says,
does it freak you the fuck out?
Find hot girls in Skokie, Illinois. And then a lot of these sites in the borders, they have like porno pictures from cartoons and shit. So what I want to know is this one of the ones where it was Bart and Lisa Simpson at the age they are in the cartoon? Or is it one of the ones where they have Bart with like a man's body, like a Simpsons man's body,
right,
a yellow muscular body.
Right.
He's like fucking his mom or some shit. You know, I do think that someone who's getting off the cartoon porn, I don't care if it's fucking the Simpsons shit, I don't care. You know what hentai is?
Yeah, it's Japanese.
Japanese, like, you know, tentacle rape porn.
Yeah.
Not even tentacle rape. Any kind of Japanese porno cartoon.
Sure. It's porno cartoons. That's what hentai is, right?
I don't care. Anybody who's getting off to a cartoon has got a fucking problem. And they'll probably eventually be more of a problem.
Right.
But you can't thought police it and say, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence on this one. I do think that if he has pictures of cartoon kids fucking and it's against the law over there, it's against the law.
But, I mean, he said he downloaded because he thought it was, you know, he saw The Simpsons. And he goes, this is, it's like when you were in school and people used to draw like Mickey Mouse fucking Minnie Mouse. And you'd be like, what is this stupid shit? And everyone would laugh. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what he said. But now he's registered as a sex offender.
There was
my question, though.
Go ahead.
My only question is, and it's funny, I kind of had an argument with my wife over this, me being the lefty, you know, freedom of speech guy I am. Should someone who has a drawing, not a real picture, a drawing, and let's say of a drawing of a child.
Is it a
naked,
realistic line drawing?
Let's say a realistic line drawing.
Almost photorealistic?
I'm going to take it to that level. Yeah, let's take it to that level. And they masturbate to that, and it's naked, and it's, let's say it's drawn in a sexually provocative way, like there's a dildo in the ass or something, right? Should that person be arrested?
That's a tough one.
I'm asking, should that person, because my answer is, and this is why I think I'd be the perfect judge in society. Because I take myself, look, guy's a creep. There's no doubt about it. He's a fucking weirdo. And, you know, maybe people around the town should keep an eye on him and their kids. But regardless of that, the guy is not breaking any law.
You have to think of it this way.
Okay, yeah.
What if you're drawing a picture of a murder? What if you're drawing a picture of a bank robbery?
Exactly.
What if you're drawing a picture of, fucking malfeasance in government or, like, you know, insider trading? He wouldn't be arrested.
Right.
But it's the fact that you don't normally get a picture of somebody's thought process. You don't normally get an insight into what someone's thinking.
Right.
And when you see the guy who has the ultra-realistic line drawing of an 8-year-old fucking herself with a dildo, right, you think, okay, lucky us, we got one.
Right.
And you just want to whisk him right the fuck out of society.
Right, but you know,
it's not right.
When did thought crime become a crime?
There's no good answer to this, because it's not right that someone would be in trouble for their thoughts.
Right.
But do you take the risk that he's going to turn it into reality in a few years? Because you know about the law of diminishing returns with pornography. When you're a kid, you could watch a Cinemax movie and there's a titty in it, and that's enough. You'll get off immediately.
Right.
18 years later, you got to watch some fucking horrendous, horrific
watch
shit.
Three fists in the ass and one of the cunt.
You got to watch some heinous shit just to get off anymore, because it's the law of diminishing returns. So this
he got it up to his knee?
Yes. I didn't know an elephant could shit that much.
Where did his foot go?
But you know that this isn't going to keep doing it for the dude forever.
I know.
And then you come into the problem, well, when's it going to cross over into real life?
But it's almost like that fucking bad Tom Cruise movie. You can't arrest someone for something that hasn't happened.
Cocktail? Days of Thunder?
All of them.
Top Gun. Yeah, Minority Report. I got you. Yeah, but I mean, you can't arrest someone for something that hasn't happened. There should be something in the law called keep an eye on this motherfucker. Where you can't necessarily do anything to him, but you keep that dude monitored.
But even then, is that right?
I think it's right, because you're not infringing upon his rights, because you're not doing anything to him. You're just keeping an eye on him.
All right.
You know, so if you see him hanging out at the bus stop by a school,
just keep an eye on him.
If you notice a dude starts renting an apartment that's right across the street from a daycare center, then you say, okay, you know, keep an eye on that motherfucker. I think we solved that.
So you don't think? See, I wonder what Joe would think about this. But so you don't think they should be arrested, though? You think because no crime has been committed?
Dude, honestly,
that was
man,
the argument I had my wife. In
I need the context. I need to know what the drawing was.
I'm saying
how the characters were depicted.
Not even fucking realistic line drawing. I'm saying this motherfucker shaded it so it looks real as a motherfucker. Color everything looks real. It's like a fucking painting that you look and you go, oh my, photorealistic painting.
I would say, you don't arrest him, per se.
But just keep an eye on him.
And when I spell per se, I want to educate our audience a little bit.
It's P-E-R-S-A-Y.
P-E-R space S-E. It's from the Latin. It's not per se as if you're saying it. It's per se. But the point is, you don't arrest him, but maybe you get a community group, you tell them where the guy lives, and they shoot him in the back of the head.
Vigilante justice?
Yeah, a little street justice.
For just being a creeper deep?
Shoot him in the back of the head one night when nobody's looking.
Now, you know, I'm going to take this out. Now,
yeah.
Well, we had to talk about child molesters, so I don't want to talk about that again. Never mind.
All right.
Yeah. It was just going to be an argument that we had already.
Well, I think we've limped along to the end of another episode of Bulldog Radio.
No, you know what? Let's just take a little break.
You got more? What you got, son?
We do. We do. We'll come back with a quick wrap-up of the rest of the week's news and some pop culture shit. But you know what? Before, I wanted to introduce people to this man. Last week, Joe played a little song, Trouble by Ray LaMontagne, and you didn't like it at all.
No, I hated it.
But, you know, Joe had said, oh, this new song, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, me being the music snob I am, I was probably a little harder than him than I should have. I was like, Joe, I had this album 3 years ago.
Harder on each other than we should be.
Right, and I kind of felt bad. So I'm like, you know what? I feel like I want to share shit, right? And this shit came out a little while ago as well, but it's obviously not out there. This shit is so good. The second I heard it, I loved it, and I wanted to play it for you. So I'm going to play it out. We'll listen to it. Maybe comment a little bit later. Or you can comment while it's playing.
I'm going to go smoke.
Listen, you're going to go smoke. Listen to this shit, brother.
What is this?
This is Charles Bradley and the Meanahan Street Band.
Tell me how to live my life when you fucking straight, brother.
It's fucking Motown. Everybody's heard this shit 100 times.
I think it's more Stacks.
Take it down a little bit.
It's a little like Motown.
I don't like the recreation of a 50-year-old sound.
I love it, bro. You know, I love it more than anything.
It's good, but there's so much of this shit out there already.
I love it more than anything except for the originals.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go listen to Marvin Gaye if I want to hear this.
I know, but you know what? You kind of get sick of all that shit because I've heard it all.
But it's the same fucking songs.
It's not.
Same cadence, same beat, same everything.
It's a little bit different, brother. It's a little bit different.
You know, I've had this weird pain behind my eye for like a week.
It's called eye cancer.
And what I thought to myself was, I'm not getting it taken care of.
Yeah, you got diabetes, brother.
I'm not getting it taken care of because maybe I'll just get an eye patch. Dude, out of the three of us, if I end up with diabetes first, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Well, Bobby.
What? What?
Weight-wise, we could all easily have diabetes.
Yeah.
But,
you realize I get tested for diabetes every year, right?
Bobby.
What?
Genetic makeup.
Listen, motherfucker. I have never had a black person in my family with diabetes.
No, I'm just saying. I was on the train, and they said black people more likely get... Oh, that was a stroke. Never mind.
You fucking asshole. I don't have fucking sickle cell either.
No, but they do. But aren't blacks more disposed to have diabetes? Although I do have diabetes in my family.
My grandmother had diabetes.
Goop.
My white grandmother. My uncle had diabetes. My white uncle. You can't listen to this music anymore, you racist.
Dude.
Listen, let's do a quick wrap up over the rest of the shit we want to talk about, and then we're going to call it a night.
Yeah. I wanted to, what do you think about the iPad?
iPad, Apple made their big announcement of their new product that everybody's been salivating about and waiting for. And in my eyes, it was a giant disappointment.
The iPod XL?
Giant is the operative word because it's just a giant iPhone.
I don't, you know, it's funny. People have been really into this Kindle.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I've been watching, and I go, you know, I don't read enough books. For people who read a lot of books, okay, I get it. You want to carry lots of books with you. But that's not many people. Many people don't read that many books. And look, and I like to read books, and the thing I hate about books is having to carry them. So now I have a little book reading application for my little phone. My phone, about the size of an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
More or less, right? I do not understand grabbing a 10-inch, basically something the size of a piece of
paper.
It's
a book.
It's a book, but it's a big book. I mean, that's like a big hardcover book, right? What, you going to walk around with that everywhere? I don't get, you know, I'm kind of
confused. Well, it's not
just
a book reader. It's not just, you know, the iPad is what you're talking about.
Right.
9.7-inch screen, like less than an inch thick. And I think
half-inch thick.
A half-inch thick, and I think it weighs like a little over a pound.
About a pound.
Right? But the problem is, it's a touch screen, right? It's like a tablet PC.
It's a big iPod.
It's existed forever. Yeah, it's just a giant iPod because Steve Jobs in his press conference says, you know, it'll let you allow you to organize your music library and watch video. Okay, you could do that on the iPhone.
Except you can't watch Flash.
No, as usual.
Well, the problem I have with the iPad, right, is that basically it's a personal computer, right?
Yeah.
Which is cool, tablet computer, right? That is even worse than an Apple regular computer in that they'll only let the software that they approve on.
Yeah.
So now there's a fucking gateway into your personal computer. And the reason I like PCs is because there's a lot of third-party independent – you know, I guess Linux too, but no one fucking, it's too hard to do. But there's a lot of third-party applications for the PC, which there aren't for especially the iPod. They don't allow
it. Yeah.
They block it out. And so that's my biggest gripe with iPod.
Why do you want to pay all this money for the product and then have it restricted?
Yeah, completely restricted. You can't do whatever the fuck you want.
But the thing is, you have to ask yourself, what does this do that cannot be done already with an iPhone?
I don't know.
And as far as I could tell right now, there's nothing. They say, okay, well, you can dock it to a keyboard. Okay, so now I have a small laptop.
Yeah, now I have a laptop.
What's the point?
Now it's a big laptop because you can't carry it with you.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point?
And it's, why not just buy a netbook?
Does the dock even fold?
No,
it's a touchscreen, so does when you put it in the dock, it doesn't fold up.
No, the dock holds it up for you, so it's almost like
so it doesn't even fold, so now you got to carry around your iPad and your dock?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I get it for, like, maybe some business applications, like a doctor's office or something where they need something. Okay, that makes – but just for – and maybe someone who was going to buy the Kindle would say, hey, fuck it. I'll buy this thing so I can also surf the web a little bit.
Can I ask you this, though?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just make an iPod or an iPhone twice as large and just say, now instead of a 3-inch screen, you have a 6-inch screen?
The iPod XL or something.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be as ridiculous as having a giant iPod, which is – I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say this thing is going to fail, but there's so many Apple fanboys and there's like...
But I just don't know, even with the Apple fanboys, right?
I don't see who this is aimed at.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't get it. Who wants a giant iPod?
That's the part I don't get.
Andre the Giant, he's dead.
Oh.
What about Kurgan from the WWF, right?
You'd want one. But then he could put it in his back pocket and it'll fit.
Dikembe Mutombo?
He'd want one too. But Yao Ming? That's the part I don't get, man. I don't get the whole... The problem I have with the people who love Apple so much, right? And this goes to their laptops and everything.
They're assholes.
But beyond them being assholes, everyone... First off, it's an OS that's completely locked down.
Yeah,
so you're supposed to be creative and lefty and fighting the system. Meanwhile, they're oppressing you, number one. Number two...
Benevolent oppression.
Everyone go... Exactly. I guess a benevolent dictator is the best kind of government, right? As long as you're the benevolent dictator. But the other problem I have with it is everyone's going, well, my Apple never fucks up. I never have an issue with it.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, if I buy a $3,000 PC, my PC will act perfectly too.
The other thing is, you know, there's no viruses. That's because the percentage of people using Apple is so small that's why you don't find viruses for the Mac or for the Apple.
But I think you're going to get a lot of iPod viruses coming.
I'm amazed at that. It might just be one of these myths where it's already happened, but just nobody knows about it because every idiot just says, well, there's no viruses, and we just take their word for it.
Right.
I don't know, man. I just don't understand the point of this. I mean, if you want to get something that's a little larger than an iPhone,
if you were thinking about getting a Kindle, I could see maybe getting this. The weird thing is the fact that it doesn't play Flash kind of weirded me out.
Not that many people are fucking reading anything. Most people, if they want to listen to something, they want to read a book, they're going to get it on their iPod and listen to it on the way to work.
Well, no, there's still a lot of people read, bro.
There's not that many people reading. How many Kindles do you see every day when you go in?
A lot.
Really?
On the bus, on the train.
It's funny.
I see a lot more than I don't see a lot, but I see a lot more than I anticipated. Most people have laptops. But, you know.
I saw that candle over there, and I thought it was a fucking police siren.
Police,
I thought those assholes heard us.
Police oppression.
How fucked up would that be if I go out there and they're all waiting for me? Yeah, motherfucker, you thought I was a nice cop?
I'll set you up, motherfucker.
You shit talk me? Say I called you dude? Now what?
Oh, shit.
Maybe you should get in your car, dude.
Maybe I'll have to edit this show.
Fuck all that. Bring them on.
J.D. Salinger's dead.
J.D. Salinger is dead. I don't care. His books didn't have pictures.
I'm waiting for his life's work to come out. Now his fucking kids can rape the memory of their father and do everything that he didn't want and exploit the fuck out of them.
Good. Good for them. They've been waiting 91 years.
Yeah, bro.
They haven't been waiting 91 70. Years. He was 91.
They've been waiting 70 years.
So his kids, we always say kids, and I get this vision of like a bunch of 28 or 30-somethings. And it's really a bunch of fucking septuagenarians who are already close to death on their own.
Who've been waiting to live off their parents' money.
But J.D. Salinger, fuck him, he's dead. What else we got?
You wanted to talk about fail blog versus sitcoms.
Yo, I wish we would have got to this earlier because I'm running out of steam. But the fail blog is a website. It's failblog.org or .com. I can't remember.
I'll find out.
I was watching sitcoms the other day because there's certain shows that I still love, like Modern Family I really like.
That's fucking
30 Rock
show.
I watch. It's hilarious. And then I showed Junior something on one of my favorite sites, Geekology.com. It's Geekology with an IE at the end. It was called The Best Fails of 2009. I recommend that anyone who is hearing my voice go to Geekology.com, do a search on the site for Best Fails 2009.
It's Hurt People, so funny. Best Fails of 2009.
It's a 6-minute video montage of people crashing their bikes, getting kicked in the face, jumping on a seesaw and having it collapse and flip them in the air.
On top of a roof, putting your skateboard on a glass, what is that called, a skylight. And
falling through the skylight.
And holding up going, dude, help me.
It's 6 minutes of this, and me and Junior watched it before the show, and we were both laughing like a couple of fucking chimpanzees. It was so goddamn funny.
Why is it when people get hurt, all you want to do is fucking laugh?
And it's not even so much the people getting hurt, it's just some of the ridiculous situations that you can't believe. But I realized watching this, I've never gotten a laugh even half as intense as this watching one of these shows that I supposedly love.
True.
Modern Family makes me chuckle because I'm like, oh, that was clever.
It's true.
But I never watch it and say, I laughed my fucking balls off like a madman.
You never guffaw like you do with these fucking videos.
The only time...
The only thing that was scripted or anything that was this funny is when the G.I. Joe PSAs came out.
Yeah.
That's the only time I can remember us laughing
our
asses off.
Honestly, the only other time I can remember is when I was watching Austin Powers. And it just struck me because it was such a funny line. It was Dr. Evil in a support group. And he said, my mother was a Belgian whore. My father was a braggart who'd make ridiculous statements like he invented the question mark. And I fucking laughed for a good half hour. But lately... Like, I'll think something's clever or it's well-written, but I'll never get that fucking strong laugh like I did watching these idiots just fall off a roof and shit. And it made me realize that how can a sitcom with a giant budget and famous actors and all the production and the writing ever compete with something I can watch anytime I want for free online of someone just getting hurt or a dude, a mugger running away and having some guy throw a back kick into his face to stop him out of nowhere? How can TV compete with the internet in that way? And they can't.
You can't.
And I think that's why nobody's watching TV anymore.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's funny.
The networks, I mean, comedies.
The networks literally lost their fucking minds when, what the fuck's this called? When YouTube and everything got big, because they realized people are putting up shit for free.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're watching
it. People put shit up just like when people put up shit for download. They're doing it just for the sake of doing it. You know, nobody's trying to get... It's not like watch the best fails of 2009. It'll cost you $10. It's just here. Check this out because I think it's funny. Maybe you will too.
F-R-E-E. That's for me.
Exactly. I don't know, man. I think we're all done for tonight.
Yeah, I guess in closing, I'm going to end it on a sad note, although we didn't know him. Joe Graziano from a band called Super Touch.
Oh, wow. No shit. Yeah. Searching for the light.
Searching for the light.
Wow, man.
He searched for the light.
Apparently he found it.
I think he went out the way of Hemingway, Hunter S. Thompson. He scratched the itch on the back of his head, if you know what I mean.
It happens, man.
Well, I don't know where it was, but he was shot, found to death in his Chicago
shot,
home.
Shot, found to death, or found shot to death?
Found shot to death in his Chicago home last Wednesday, whenever that was.
I don't mean to laugh at this. Suicide. I feel like fucking Joe now.
No.
Laughing at a Haitian.
You're laughing at my bumble.
Your faux pas.
My, yes. Anyway, I figured we'll end out with the song that everyone knows.
All right.
Super Touch. Searching for the light.
BulldogRadioShow.com. Go there. Worship. See you next week.
Join us.
Searching for the light.